The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Beginning of 2024 and the markets and the American economy and confidence. I welcome Elizabeth Peake, a columnist for The Hill, columnist for Fox News, much on Fox Business, to begin with the new year and the expectation of the Federal Reserve moving to reduce the cost of money and therefore to offset the slowdown that is apparent, reported, possible across America. There was no recession in 2023. You can assume that those who predicted a recession, 99%, as I recall, a year ago, are still at it, predicting a recession. But, Liz, a very good evening to you. I start with the recession prediction of 2023. Has it carried over to 2024? Is it still in front of us? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Actually, people are much more optimistic going into 2024 than they were a year ago. Remember, there was a point a year ago plus a few months that 100% of one pretty big survey of economists and investors were expecting a recession in 2023, a recession which, as we all know, did not happen. And so a lot of investors very wisely took that to be a pretty low point in optimism. And of course, that's usually when you should be investing. You shouldn't be investing when everyone is optimistic, when everyone sees sunny skies ahead. And of course, that's where we are right now. So the conundrum for investors after a 24% increase in equities last year and a rousing rally in the bond market, you know, should they still be as positive as markets appear to be? We come into this year with an enormous expectation of soft landing or not even that, just basically steady growth in the economy and also gains in the market. I think the average expectation is now that the market will be up high single digits, which after a big, big increase last year is a pretty good outlook. Maybe more worrisome is that investors, according to the futures markets, are now pricing in six or seven interest rate cuts in 2024. And as you know, John, the Fed has only targeted three interest rate cuts. So in addition, investors are now expecting those cuts to start as early as March. It's a pretty fascinating thing to look back at the last 6 weeks where Jay Powell basically did an extraordinary pivot, going from one meeting in which he said, "Oh, it's way too early to think about interest rate cuts. We're not even talking about that." To then at the next meeting, putting them on the table and basically making that the Fed's outlook. No one is quite sure how that happened, whether the Fed is looking at data on the economy that, we average mortals are not seeing. Nobody really knows. But the investment community took his relative soft stance, easy money stance, and went to town. So we've had quite an amazing year end. And now the questions I think ahead of us are really the same ones. I mean, can the Fed really navigate this bringing down of inflation, which so far they have done, without causing a recession? A recession usually, I shouldn't say usually, always follows a tightening of the money supply and a ratcheting up of interest rates. I can't find an example that countermands that assertion. I don't think it exists. When you have leading indicators that have dropped for 18 months, there is also always, always a recession. So whether it's a mild recession or not, pretty surely the economy is going to go into negative territory sometime in the next couple of quarters, which in effect does make sense of the Fed's prediction of rate cuts. Why otherwise would they cut rates? So I don't know. We have all these things sort of geared up and stacked up. You have a group of stocks, the Magnificent Seven, which went through the roof last year. I think an awful lot of people are beginning to say, whoa, you know, can these extremely inflated stock prices make sense for those few names that have been leading the market? Maybe it's time to take some money out of those stocks and into more value stocks or broad-based investing. But then at the end of the day, John, it's an election year. And what we know about election years is usually the stock market goes up because the government will promise anything and everything to make voters happy. And the Federal Reserve is likely to be accommodating. The Federal Reserve certainly doesn't want to step on Joe Biden's chances of reelection. Jay Powell is not a fan of Donald Trump. And we know already that Jay Powell has been some political astuteness, let's say, if not political influence from the White House. And Democrats are already calling on him to cut rates. So it's sort of a muddle, probably, but you know, chances are the Fed will help the market go up again in 2024.
I saw passingly this morning, reading through the new numbers, that housing is not lower than it was in November, that we have reason to believe that the housing market is changing direction. Let's put it that way, not exactly surging. Is that helpful to the Federal Reserve? Because housing is where the recession is.
Yeah. So for sure, when you go from zero interest rates to 5%, and of course, mortgages go up to 8%, it's almost unimaginable that housing didn't take a bigger hit. The reason it didn't is because supplies were so constrained. People in homes that they bought with a 3% mortgage didn't put those homes on the market because they knew if they moved, they'd be facing a much, much bigger bill at the end of the day. A mortgage, the average family house mortgage went basically doubled last year. I mean, that's a pretty big blow. And since for a lot of families, that is their number one expense, you know, basically the housing market was stuck. Now the mortgage rates have come down pretty rapidly, many now under 7%. And that has helped home buyers. We've seen an uptick in buying of homes. And I would imagine that to continue, John, because you know, going back to the Great Recession, we are understocked in housing. I think house prices will probably go up, which won't help buyers, but will certainly even more fuel consumer net worth, which, as we know, leads spending and leads stock markets, and was a big factor towards the end of last year in terms of propelling, for example, Christmas spending. You know, stock market goes up, your home value goes up a little bit, you feel better and you go spend more. So that's a plus for consumer spending and for growth. It probably doesn't help inflation numbers because one of the big bolsters of inflation over the last couple of years has been rent or the equivalent of rent, and that started to come down. I'm not sure it's going to continue to come down.
The jobs market as well. The Federal Reserve was said to be keen on the jobs market, never really softened. It dipped from the big numbers we had in 22, certainly, but it never really fell apart. There were no large layoffs. Is that a concern to the Federal Reserve? We both have read the same thing. The worst thing you can do is miss the interest rates and start to cut when you should be holding firm or raising. That leads to it led to a catastrophe in the 20th century, and it can do it again here.
Yeah, I think Jay Powell has been very mindful of that, which is why up until the last meeting, he was so cautious about projecting any kind of rate cuts. The jobs market has been, and he has said this, has been a real puzzle for the Fed. Normally when you raise rates as aggressively as they did, manufacturers and companies generally begin to lay off workers. That didn't happen because there has such a struggle to hire workers coming out of the pandemic. So many people retired, so many people moved to the sidelines, encouraged by extra high unemployment compensation, the cancellations of student debts, et cetera. or I should say the pause on repaying student debt. So the Fed really struggled with that. And in addition, you have a White House which is advocating fiercely for union wages to go up, not only encouraging strikers to stand firm and demand more for UAW workers, but also putting into all kinds of government contracts union requirements, which really has never been pushed as hard before. I mean, Biden is really carving out new territory here because he's wants to make sure he wins the union vote next year, this year. Kind of stop saying next year. But that has an impact on wages. And wages is something that I think the Fed is probably very concerned about. The job market, we're going to get a JOLTS report at the end of this week, and that'll be interesting to see whether the job openings number continues to come down. There are certainly signs of weakness. Temporary employment is down, and that has been coming down for some months. That's always a leading indicator of layoffs. And by the way, John, in past recessions, layoffs happen all of a sudden. It's not, I'm not sure you get many months kind of gradual decline. It's sort of like all of a sudden employers realize that they can't afford to keep workers on, and they can replace them if they need to, and they just lay them off. So that we haven't seen that yet. If demand falters, I think you will see layoffs begin, because there are all kinds of signs that employers, we've seen this from surveys of CFOs, for example, know that now they are able to hire. So, you know, I think that union wages are a problem. I think they're going to be going up again strongly this year. One thing mitigating that is this huge flood of illegals in the country who, without a doubt, are being hired at restaurants and other places, and they are going to be bringing the average wage at the low end down.
So not too hot, not too cold, a middle of the road year, middle of the road, single digits, and we can live with that. Is that no big sell-off, no big rally? Is that the measure on the
street? That's the expectation. That's certainly the expectation. It worries me. I'm always a nervous Nelly about people being very, very optimistic. And I think right now, I was reading a survey somewhere, people haven't been this optimistic in a long time. That usually is not a good sign.
Well, let's turn to the election. That'll take some of that optimism out of them. Elizabeth Peak of the Hill of Fox News, much on Fox Business. I'm John Bell.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.